I will, and you know what? It was extremely busy, historical week, remember how you want to break it down. But you also need to know, while all that was going on, there's other things that go on in your state government. And one of the exciting days, fun days, is when we have the veterans come up and we recognize the veterans in our great state. That's always a very beautiful time. It's a wonderful ceremony, wonderful program. It's short, sweet, and to the point from beginning to end, probably lasts maybe 35 minutes. But we take time to recognize the 300,000-plus veterans in this great state. And they say thank you to us for the numerous programs that we have in place to support them. And then it gives us the opportunity to say thank you to them. So it's just I want people to know there's more than just talk of policy and raising taxes or not raising taxes. There's other things going on in your state government, and I just want to make sure everybody knows that in Oklahoma we do, the House of Representatives and the Senate, we come together, it's a joint session, do just an outstanding job in recognizing and taking a moment to say thank you to those that serve this great nation. Now, as far as the week, it was a busy week. I think everybody in our districts know full well what's gone on. We did vote to raise taxes in the House, and the Senate did it on Wednesday. I may have my day there wrong. May have done it Thursday or Wednesday night. I'll let the Senator correct me. But anyway, I think everybody knows. You've read it in the paper. It's a tax increase that raised the gross production went from 2 to 4 for 36 months, and then it goes to 7. Excuse me, 2 to 5. Did I say 4? I did it. 4 was always the number I wanted, and I compromised. But anyway, thank you, Julie. Went from 2 to 5, and we raised a cigarette tax, $1. Gasoline tax went up 3 cents and 6 cents on diesel. And there was a cap on an income tax issue. And we did a motel hotel tax in the House that did not go gently into the night. And over in the Senate, it was pulled out of the bill. Stayed in the bill. However, we ran a repealer. And we ran the repealer yesterday to repeal that tax. And the governor, I believe, signed it, I don't know, 4:30 yesterday, sometime yesterday afternoon. So that is what is before us. And the hotel-motel tax in that package we put together took about $43 million out of the package, and we have people that are concerned what's going to happen, but just all I can say is trust me, and I don't know if people have a lot of trust in their elected, not their elected members, just in government right now, but we will deal with that. We will deal with that particular situation because we have to balance the budget, so that's pretty well the gist of it.
Okay, thank you very much for your effort, and go ahead, Mr. Dunlap.
Yep, I'll jump in there, and especially since we're on the topic of the hotel tax. The hotel-motel tax is an interesting tax because it was fairly recent that it came up in the discussions, and it was a proposed statewide tax, and it's the first time that we've enacted or talked about enacting a hotel-motel tax on a statewide basis. Now, that is, just so your listeners know, that is something that is collected, but it's used by local municipalities, and typically the local municipalities use it as a means of economic development, especially in regards to tourism. And so when your relatives or when your friends come and stay at a hotel or motel in Bartlesville, or when we have a soccer tournament or baseball tournament or basketball tournament and teams are staying in those hotels, or if people are working up in Coffeyville and staying in Bartlesville, we get a hotel tax in Bartlesville and we use that. And so that's something that they enjoy. And so it was pulled out yesterday of the bill, and I tried to put together some numbers in regard to that. It did change the amount of total revenue that was passed this week, but the total revenue that was passed is still very close to the amount of spending that we put in place. Now, the spending that we put in place were the three groups of raises that we passed. One was the teacher raise, and that was the biggest package, obviously. And then another was the support personnel raise, and that's within the Department of Education as well. And then also we did a state employee pay raise. In addition to those raises, the next largest spending item was a $50 million commitment of putting into the school aid funding formula. So altogether, that was the spending package that we passed, and it did end up being a little bit more. We did spend a little bit more than we passed in terms of the revenue that we created. But that's just part of the normal appropriations process. We're spending over $6 billion on your behalf. That's how much of your money we get to spend in the appropriations process. And so far, we've dedicated $2.9 billion of that to the Department of Education, in addition to these pay raise measures that we've passed. And so that's the $2.9 billion education budget and the three pay raises that I just talked about. That's the money that we've spent so far. And then the money that we've raised through these revenue measures, it comes in at a certain number as well. So I have the numbers in front of me, but I didn't have it in quite the way that I wanted it to say it. So we passed revenue measures in the pay raise measures altogether are $469 million. And then we have the $50 million extra dollars that we're giving to the Department of Education.
That would be for items such as, but not necessarily only, textbook materials, et cetera.
So textbooks have gotten a lot of attention because of that was a deal that we worked out with the state superintendent, a couple years ago, and that has a whole history. We don't need to get into that now.
Right.
But we passed $527.5 million in taxes when we take the hotel motel tax out, and I'm also not counting the revenue that we talked about with gaming and gambling. So of that money, we're only certified to spend $475 million. And so if you paid attention to those numbers, we have spent a little bit more than we've raised in taxes. But again, we're spending over $7 billion of your money. And so we just work that out as the process goes through.
Okay. Thank you for that summary. Good morning, Senator Daniels.
Morning, Charlie. Thanks for having us again today. Wish everybody in advance a happy Easter. You know, this is a sober day for us, but still Sunday will be a day of rejoicing. I have some economic figures in front of me, go through 2017 in Oklahoma. Just thought it might be interesting for folks to know that our imports dwarf our exports by about $4 billion. This is as of 2017. We have a little over 500 foreign-owned companies represented in Oklahoma. Of course, in Bartlesville, we know we still have Siemens, German, Swiss. We have Schlumberger, so we have a collection of...
ABB,
that's right. And so that's interesting. Our largest export markets are Canada and Mexico, followed by Germany, Japan, Singapore, and the Netherlands. We import the most from Canada, followed by China, and then Mexico. When you look at the economy over the past few years, we've had a fair run economically. We're better than a year ago. Until the downturn in our energy market, we were 2.5 to 3 times higher in terms of our gross domestic product as a state than the rest of the nation. But we are only just now getting back to the employment figures that we enjoyed before the bottom fell out of the energy sector in Oklahoma. So we are just now getting back to 2015 levels. That's important to me because, of course, then when you do raise taxes, you could very well affect that growth, that recovery. But that's just the statistic of where we are with that. It's interesting that for 20 years, until that downturn in our energy cycle, we enjoyed an unemployment rate less than the rest of the nation. But that was different between 2015 and now, when oil and gas tanked. But then this is interesting in talking about increasing teacher pay. We are 85 to 86% of the national income, of the national statistics in per capita income. And that is across all sectors. No matter what industry you work in, no matter what your job, you are making only 85 to 86% of the national per capita income. We did get very close to matching the national during the oil boom. So again, even as we diversify our economy, we need to understand that oil and gas is our bread and butter, and whatever we do to affect that industry and the jobs they provide and the taxes those individuals then pay can be a negative to our state's economy. And those were just some statistics brought to our Republican caucus this week from the Department of Commerce. And very pleased about the teacher pay raise. I voted for one 2 weeks ago. I could not support over $100 million in additional taxes this week. So I balanced things out and decided that the offer that was made 2 weeks ago was much more manageable in terms of watching our overall economy. We're only halfway through the session, only halfway through coming up with a budget. I know there is this April 1 deadline, which Representative Sears, I thought you were going to get that repealed, because we need to be looking at the education budget in tandem with all the budgets in the state. And now on Monday, we can refocus on that. Enjoyed coming home last night and going immediately to a Green Country Republican Women's event featuring Senator Lankford. He, of course, is very inspirational. It was very nice to come home and be among fellow conservatives. And just look forward to tackling next week. And I'm so glad that with this move, that students can be in class on Monday. I know I had several high school students last night speak to me very concerned about prep for the ACT. I know there's science fair. There are all sorts of things. So I'm really glad that this will enable students throughout Oklahoma to be in class on Monday and teachers to be back where they want to be. So anyway, all in all, that's the state of things now as far as I know.
Okay. Well, thank you very much so far. Yes, sir.
Charlie, I just would like to add, now that this issue is behind us, and we may have to, I mean, it still may, I think there will still be several teachers there on Monday, but the point I want to make is
Bartlesville, Skiatook, Tulsa, Owosso, I'm not sure who else will be there, I think all those districts will be there.
Yeah, I just speak for Bartlesville, my understanding.
Sand Springs,
they're coming up for one day.
Running down the list, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, that's my understanding. For one day, I just can't confirm that for the others. But the point I want to make is that now that we can get back on to, when I'm very proud of this delegation that's in this radio station right now, continues the journey in regards to reform on our credits. Some unfinished business, as far as I'm concerned, is credits on wind. Again, it's very strong on the western part of the state. The members on the eastern part of the state, we're holding pretty strong and tight, but still it's a journey that we're on, and there's a lot of pushback on it. But we need to continue to have the reform. There's several of them in regards to credits that we have in front of us in the next several days, and I truly hope that we have some reform in those credits, because it just makes total sense to continue to have a conversation about the credits that we continue to pay out, and that is taxpayers' money that we can bring back into the budget to help us run state government.
And
so I'm looking forward to that. That's all I wanted to say. And the other thing is say thank you to Phillip 66.
I'd like to have the last word. If you don't
all right, mind. Say thank you to Phillip 66, and happy Easter to everybody.
Travis.
Well, the only reason I want to have the last word is people, our listeners would like to know that our spiritual condition down in the Capitol is not completely ignored, and this is something I like to tell people. So we have an in-house Bible study that we do on Wednesday mornings. The Senate has that same thing as well.
Senator Lankford talked about the one he goes to on Wednesday mornings. Yes.
Well, this week the devotion in that was so good, and it really, really was a nice thing. But I brought, this is not exactly from that devotion, but it reminds me of the devotion that we had, and it's actually a song, but the words to this song are so nice. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to read this, and it's a kind of a Good Friday reflection. The melody is not such that we can sing it on the radio.
You're an instrumentalist, but if you want to sing, go ahead.
You can imagine a stirring cello melody line going on while I say it. So here it is. Beneath the cross of Jesus Christ, no shadow remains for shame to hide. Redemption shone for all to see. Perfection bore our penalty with a grace so glorious. Immortal day the veil was torn when mercy donned a crown of thorns. As law gave way to liberty and freedom for humanity with a grace so glorious. And oh, the glory of a Savior's love surrounding our surrender. To know forever we are welcomed home. Crowned in glory to glory, worthy is the Lord of all the glory, forever holy is the Lord. triumphant praises without end, all hailing the King of righteousness, and every eye beholds the one our hearts were undeserving of, with a grace so glorious. A wondrous day when I will see the face of him who ransomed me. I'll fall in worship at his feet and rise to reign eternally in a grace so glorious. Crowned in glory to glory, worthy is the Lord of all the glory forever. Holy is the Lord. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Our program again brought to you this morning by Phillips 66.
At Phillips 66, we think pride might look a lot like our newly upgraded stations.